stand up for the open mic, but I forgot that I didn't bring anything. So I'm going to read a poem by Robert Lowell. That's a strong error for Elizabeth Bishop. Nautilus Island's hermit heiress still lives through winter in her Spartan cottage. Her sheep still graze above the sea. Her son's a bishop. Her farmer is first selectman in her village. She's in her dotage. Thirsting for the hierarchic privacy of Queen Victoria's century, she buys up all of the eyesores facing her shore and lets them fall. The season's ill. We've lost our summer millionaire who seemed to leap from an L.L. Bean catalogue. His nine-knot yawl was auctioned off to lobstermen. A red fox stain covers Blue Hill. Oh, shit. This poem is slightly problematic. Problematic part. No. Sorry. And now our fairy decorator brightens his shop for fall. His fishnets filled with orange cork. Orange his cobbler's bench and all. There is no money in his work. He'd rather marry. One dark night, my tutor Ford climbed the hill's skull. I watched for love cards. Lights turned down, they lay together, hull to hull, where the graveyard shelves on the town. My mind's not right. A car radio bleats, love, oh careless love. I hear my ill spirit sob in each blood cell, as if my hand were at its throat. I myself and hell, nobody's here, only skunks that search in the moonlight for a bite to eat. They march on their soles up Main Street, white stripes, moonstruck eyes, red fire, under the chalk dry and sparse spire of the Trinitarian Church. I stand on top of her back steps and breathe the rich air. A mother skunk with her column of kittens swills the garbage pail. She jabs her wedge head in a cup of sour cream, drops her ostrich tail, and will not scare.
Next up, Linda Ibbotson.
Pleasure of an evening with Inchidomi Orton Spa. So this was inspired by a photograph of myself in a red dress on the beach. It's Medusa in Indian red. She rose from aquamarine. Medusa in Indian red. Amphibious souls carved white sand as liquid lips licked the flowers from her hem, and the lavender sea thrift nodded in approval. She sank into her wisdom, an art deco opulence, languishing chocolate pearls hidden in pink oyster shells, drinking in black notes from the undulating spine of the Steinway, and making passes at the bartender with a sweetheart mouth. She smiled as she flickered with the last candle and flew to dance with a butterfly.
Thank you, Linda. And next up we have Jane O'Kane.
This poem came out of becoming more attuned to language games or to alienating or inauthentic speech, but had I known we could read someone else's poem, I would have done that. Field notes on taking the power back. 1. Aw, Mary, you know everybody loves you, right? Oliver said, flattering someone 40 years older than him, proving he thought Mary was a pathetic little lamb, unable to cope in her own skin, unable to meet her own needs, unable. May as well pee on her, I offered. Actually, you may as well pity fuck her. I accused, hoping Mary would pick up on the absurdity of needing to be loved by everybody. Everybody? I snickered under my breath. Mary, however, thought I was out of line. Go pee on yourself, she scowled at me. Elevated by the realization that prim and proper Oliver didn't think she was a pity. Fuck yourself while you're at it, she smiled, folding her hands across her lap and thanking Oliver for pointing her in the direction of dignity. 2. Speak, rise up, and tell your story, Wendy said, lobbing a ball of clay at my face. Use this clay to mold your story. Make the personal political. This is your chance, your one and only chance to gain autonomy, she said in an hour-long class designed to empower the lowly. My clay has already hardened, I interjected, hoping she would toss me another one or at least forgive me when I didn't exactly mold her into a trophy or didn't exactly PWIC pay what I could. Is there a discount if your clay is rock solid? I asked, to which Wendy interjected, this is a sacred, holy space. This is a space for dialogue. This is a space for commuting across a great divide. Pay what you can on the way out. And don't forget to take the power back, she said, emphasizing the paying, not the power taking. Ah, namaste, I said, reaching for my wallet. 3. Aw, have you met Jana? My supervisor asserted, proving she thought I was a pathetic little lamb, unable to cope in my own skin, unable to meet my own needs, unable. May as well pee on me, I mumbled under my breath, realizing she thought I was pathetic enough to sit alone, alone, in my office, my own office, with someone for an hour, without introducing myself. Did you say something? She asked, noticing I was on a tangent. I've been taking a pottery class for the lowly, I mentioned. Aw, Jana, you are an artist. That's why we love you, she said. Yeah, it's been pretty empowering to start noticing oppression everywhere, I smirked, wondering if I was, in fact, more oppressed than I realized.
I need to give a little introduction to this. The title is Leonid Andreev, a photographic self-portrait. I came across a book in the art school of photographs by an amateur photographer, Russian, who was a very successful journalist and playwright in the period just before the revolution. And he built himself a rather splendid dacha, I think, on the Gulf of Finland, in which he was rather keen on photographing these large family parties and so on, which he assembled there. But this is not a family party. It's a photographic self-portrait. He timed the exposure to two giant sprites up the shore, stood with the sea slanting towards him and breasted the shore horizon. Thus, man is the measure of the Gulf of Finland, of the historic moment, which is almost 1914. But along the sand, by an effect of the photographic process, the Lumiere autochrome shows us a field of poppies at Mamoussou.
Claudia
Ma'am.
Thank you. This poem is called Fire. I, last night, while burned you in effigy, singed my own skin from holding too close you, had built a small stone altar of grayed, greened, blued organs of pebbles scattered, stacked into bodies to reflect that effigy, had placed that paper scrawled with your names, doll, with the deeds you had done me wrong, how harmed my poor purple heart with those great grown boy deeds, had flipped the lighter to lit flames, oranged into yellows, spurt, spittle, and slick from its lid, to slide through your names into their curves and the uneven angles of your deeds, done. Done, and then run through ever for my mind in splintering spaghettied limbs. Done, and woven sharp into mine, so pain pulses through brain lobes, stained white, like pure, puerile fancy of you and of me, flaming from oranging into gray cinders of thought, skeletons left inside the mouth of flame, teeth scarlet jagged to tear through, lips warm to wrap around the paper of you. One corner of that paper fled, carrying away the middle of your names, snatched on wind to some slight sighted salvation, fled, refusing to catch fingers with the flame, refusing to lock lips interleave with the red light, bright light. So I stretched out an arm, long like distance between us, and unraveled fingers of threaded time, spaced out in the hours we had spent, stolen and shared, broken between us two, fractioned to fit in our two hearts. These fingers, brittle hands of broken clocks, caught that paper face of your middle, snatching from wind, thief, and held it close, between one finger and one thumb. Held it so close, it bloomed out in little pink petals and trembles of pain. It flittered in the wind like flightless birds, striving for yellow wings of feathers and freedom. But oh, held it too close for such. Close thus, the lighter held hand brought fire to lick lips around that piece, flipped flame into place, hungry and running, wild-edged fires through that middle. But wind, wings, or feathers of freedom, I know not what. Perhaps my own thumb, but something did push flame to my skin, its threaded teeth crimson, biting and burning blue-green hearts into my skin. But still, through flamed lips locked onto the ridges of my fingerprints, held so close yet your paper name, dear, pulling the two together, fire and effigy, enkindled across my skin, through your deeds, and no sacrifice ceased, but consumed by coral orange flames, fire bitten, until only smoke strung over shattered, shuddering grays. Now, there is a sting in the padded paw of my thumb. That is all. But you, your names, are not more than ashes on a pebbled altar, strewn like drought on land after no rain falls.
Thanks, Claudia. Next we have Kathy Darcy.
Right.
It's very hard for me to stay up this late, but it is. I came here tonight to support Annette, whose collection Thimble Rig is going to be launched in the West Cork Literary Festival.
What's it called again?
Thimble Rig is going to be Launched at the West Cork Literary Festival on Saturday, July 13th at 4 p.m. in Matt Murphy's, and you should all come. I hope I see you all there, because they'll be drinking, obviously.
Free?
No, I don't yeah. You know, but fun, like a discount. But I said while I was here, I would read a poem. I'll say a poem. And it's one that I've only said two times before, and once was in Failing the Bailiffs with Paul Durkin, and I don't know how he felt about it. He hasn't been in touch. And the other time was at the Roundy Cabaret just down the road, and I didn't mean to write it. In fact, I'm supposed to be working on a big long poem about ancient ways, which I am doing, but until I can prize my uterus out of De Valera's cold, dead hands, very hard for me to think about anything else. So, as I kneel before you, as I bow my head in prayer, take this day, make it yours, and fill me with your love. Ave Maria. Gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedictatum. I'm drowned, Mary. Why would I want a child, and why wouldn't I? I bent over like you told me, and my fatherless son was born with his heart outside his body, like a failure of farmyard husbandry. And I tended him as I could, but he still died, like you said he would. And the paparazzi took pictures as I sank under the weight of sulfuric tears, and now I have wound up like Alice, on the shore of my own disaster, eyeing a hungover Garda Síochána through a seaweed-packed hole. And people say, Our Lady of Cycles, pray for us. Our Lady of Thrush and Cystitis, pray for us. Our Lady of Tampons, pray for us. Our Lady of the Curse, pray for us. Our Lady of Ovaries, pray for us. Our Lady of Family Planning, pray for us. Our Lady of Catholic Countries, pray for us. Our Lady of the Principle of the Thing, pray for us. Our Lady of American Dollars, pray for us. When they should say, Our Lady of Touching, pray for us. Our Lady of Kissing, pray for us. Our Lady of Vasodilation, pray for us. Our Lady of Cleavage, pray for us. Our Lady of Penetration, pray for us. Our Lady of Reverse Cowgirl, pray for us. Our Lady of Joyous Oblivion, pray for us. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for me, that I may sin without conceiving. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Next we have Niall Harriet.
Hard to follow that one. It's called Lead Valley Haiku, and the images came from a walk I did along the headwaters of the River Lee, from the moorlands above Gugan Barra down to Ballingeary, where I had a welcome pint. Anyway, I put the images into 8 haikus. Cobwebs in my head, lightly feather dusted out by a long hill walk. Nearly sat on the grouse, now that would be something for it to grouse about. Buried stone circle, ring of old teeth peaks from peat. Ancient sacred place. Dragonflies droning, united in love over water lily pads. Smooth as molten silk, cascading from mossy rocks, feel the energy. Electric blue flash of kingfisher under ash and wetfoot willow. Plate-sized canopies
canapé is, if you are sure, it's mushroom roulette. Life in the slow lane. Oak stands there going nowhere, sure of its own place. Shinan, thanks.
This poem was written in 1296 by some French dude who was a troubadour. And he says this: "So, through the eyes, love attains the heart. For the eyes are the scouts of the heart, and the eyes go reconnoitering for what it would please the heart to possess. And when they are all in full accord and firm, all three in one resolve, at that time perfect love is born from what the eyes have made welcome to the heart. Not otherwise can love be born or have commencement. By the grace and by command of these three and from their pleasure, love is born, who with fair hope goes comforting her friends. For as all true lovers know, love is perfect kindness, which is born, there is no doubt, from the heart and the eyes. The eyes make it blossom, the heart matures, love, which is the fruit of their very seed."
Thank you, Rob. Next we have Stanley Knott.
Thanks. I'm kind of getting to the point where I might not explain anymore, but I think I might tonight. I'm writing a series of pieces that are inspired by musical artists, so each piece is song titles from one particular artist.
Oh, yeah.
And by way of introduction, this one, I suppose I should say, I've spent my entire life being obsessed with artists who rebel and, you know, how institutions and governments react to that. So this one is derived from Eminem song titles, and it requires me to do two things I don't normally do: accents and maybe a little bit of acting. So I'm going to apologise in advance. It's a very low standard of that. And this one is the only one of the about 20 I've done that actually has a title. This is called Public Service Announcement. Public Enemy Number One is a low-down, dirty American psycho who's almost famous, has family problems, a guilty conscience, enjoys nothing but music and the seduction of chemical warfare. This is fucking bullshit. I'm no infinite insane invasion. The way I am ain't so bad. Off the wall and never too far from evil deeds, Public Enemy Number One is a hazardous youth whose foolish pride believes the world ain't ready for me yet. This is fucking bullshit. I live at home in a trailer. I tried so hard. We, as Americans, know when to stand up. The kids need a role model. 5-star generals to say, 25 to life, criminal. 25 to life? That's stir crazy. I'm sorry, Mama. This is bullshit. To say hellbound kids are despicable. Despicable? Hellbound? Fuck you. Dumping that shit on me. On Do-Re-Mi. To drop the bomb on them. Hello? Murder, murder, murder ain't the anthem. Love me, stimulate, spend some time and by my side before talking all that shit. Public Enemy Number One is a low down, dirty American psycho who's almost famous. Is that Radio American Freestyle? Yeah, same old song and dance. No love, no come on in. Radio Freestyle? More like American Psycho.
Thanks, Stanley. Eminem. I'm so homesick now. Next, we have Cedric.
Called a confession of an old soul. For a long time I've been here. I do not know my purpose. And of my awaiting fate, I have no hint. If this goes on, I'm stuck, I fear. My mission's double. My experience remains incomplete. Neither a champion nor a reject. I was born gifted to wield and to protect. The very realm I'm up against. I bore names, sorcerer, medium, psychic. I'm not like you, but I am man. Not an angel, not a demon, but not human. Until I have fulfilled my duty, I cannot be sick. For a long time, I've been here. Should I leave, I would still return. As long as one of you remains helpless, the fire of my life will light and burn. My presence is not a threat or an error. I am spirit. I am the witch doctor.